All right, take your Bibles, if you will, tonight. Turn to 2 Corinthians. Brother Scott, that comes after 1 Corinthians and just before 3 Corinthians. Chapter number 5. Most of it is. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look down to verse number 17. We'll finish out the chapter together. I'll start on verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Let's pray. Lord, what a beautiful verse that is. What joy we see, what doctrine in that one verse alone. I pray that you bless our preacher once again tonight with your Holy Spirit's power. Give him wisdom. Give us wisdom as he speaks, that we might see things through your eyes. Bless the preaching. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want you to keep your Bibles open to 2 Corinthians. We will come back to it several times. Let me start by saying something obvious, but something that's necessary. The Christian life is so much different than life in the world. Let me say that again. The Christian life is so much different than the life in the world. God says that when we get saved, we become new creatures. And that literally means, if you study those two words out, new creatures, it means a new creation. That literally means we become most like God wanted us to be when he first made us. It doesn't mean you become something different. It means you go back to what you were intended to be when God first did it. That's being saved is as close to original creation as we can get, yet be sinners. It's still not what it was, but it's as close as we're going to get. A saved person is as close to being what God intended when he made man in Eden. Now listen to me. No wonder lost people do not and cannot understand Christianity. It bothers me. Preachers sometimes preach, and sometimes soul winners will use terminology that sounds real intellectual, but it doesn't mean squat to a lost sinner because they don't know what it means. The Bible says that Jesus went about preaching to the common man. The common man heard him gladly, the Bible says. He used common language. A lady this morning, she has been through many different churches in her many years of life, and she said, in front of Brother Kevin and I this morning, she said, "You're just a hoot." She said, "You never know what's coming out of your mouth next." She said, "I come just to hear what's going to be said next." Maybe one of the best compliments I've been given, because the common man understands. The common person understands. I think I know enough Bible. I might be able to impress a few of you. But what good is it if you don't understand it? What good is it having a whole box full of tools that you don't know how to use? Just to have a big box of tools, what good is it? Man's religion is works-based, and it's based on man. Let me say that again. Man's religion is works-based and is based on man. Religion and Christianity, or the difference is this. Religion is man telling God how God has to accept man. Christianity is, thus saith the Lord, obey it or else. That's the difference. You now have the priests and the apostles and Mary and the saints and candles and lighting candles and confessions and holy days and climbs to up steps that are shattered in glass and praying towards Mecca and all the other vile things that man thinks of. Listen, this next statement is so sad to me. We have brought God down to being a sinful human, and we then tell God how we're going to get back to him. That's religion. God, I'm going to get to heaven by getting baptized. God, I'm going to get to heaven or get somebody out of purgatory by buying a candle and lighting it. Folks, I'm going to get my sins cleansed because I buy a necklace that's got beads on it, and I'm going to say so many Hail Marys and so many this and so many that. Now, come on. God's a whole lot smarter than that. Man wants to inject himself into salvation. You know the hardest part of soul winning is getting somebody lost. I used to wonder when I first started going soul winning, why is the first thing I got to tell them is they're going to die and go to hell? Because the first thing they need to realize is they're a bad enough sinner deserving hell. My preacher's answer didn't satisfy me until I've won a few thousand people to Christ. Now I understand it. You have to understand you're a bad enough sinner to deserve hell, or you don't need a savior. We try to judge or barometer people's sincerity by how they live after they get saved. Folks, that's wicked as the devil himself. I long for Christians who are not trying to judge each other's salvation. Most of you would say the disciples were lost and on their way to hell. Peter cussed and swore. He denied Jesus 3 times. He called Jesus a ghost, and he attempted murder. Most of you would have said, well, he wasn't a very sincere Christian. Yet God used him less than 40 days later to preach Pentecost, and 3,000 got saved and baptized in one day. We want to make sure people are saved based on their tears or turning away from certain sins. Folks, you don't turn from sin. It doesn't work that way. It's not based on how many crocodile tears you cry. Well, that person really got it. They were crying. Shoot. I can make some of you cry and it doesn't mean you got saved. Yeah. Getting saved only cares for your sin record in heaven and in God's sight. Salvation is a matter of setting the book straight to where not only is sin forgiven and covered, but the righteousness of Christ is added. I've said this often when it comes to salvation. Even if you could live without sin, you could still die and go to hell. Because it's not the absence of wrong that gets you to heaven. It's the presence of righteousness that gets you there. That is why when we get saved, not only is our sin washed away, but God imputes the righteousness of Jesus to our life. We have to have the righteousness added. By the way, we're so bad we got to have the bad cleared off the books. But getting the bad cleared off the books only brings you to zero. So, we must face the consequences of our sin here on earth. Now, I'm going to shift our gears just a moment. Sin separates God and man because God cannot look on sin and God can't fellowship with sin. Jesus came to bring salvation and bring God and man back together. Don't get mad at me. I'm going to pop some of your bubbles. Yes, I believe Jesus loves you, but he loves God the Father more than anybody. He came to satisfy God, not us. He came to give God what God the Father wanted more than anything in the universe, and that was man. That's why there's an old Southern gospel song from several decades ago. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. No, he wasn't. He was trying to please the Father. He didn't have you personally in mind. He died for the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus came to satisfy the Father. Now watch this. He not only shed his blood to cover our sin, but he lived 33 and a half righteous years to live our righteousness for us so we could get to heaven. Right. Why is it that Jesus didn't just come and get crucified the same day he came? It's because he had to live the life we were supposed to live in flesh, that could sin without sinning. He had to live a righteous life in the same flesh we live in so that he could die, shed his blood, and resurrect in that body. That's living our righteousness for us. Now, all that being said, Jesus at salvation reconciles us with God. When we get saved, what Jesus did reconciles our account in heaven with God. Brother Kevin, how long ago was it when you got saved? I know, just this morning, but how old were you?
It's been 42 years.
Man, you're old. So 42 years ago, you were what, 26? You were a teenager then, though, weren't you? He was a teenager. Got saved. Now watch this. The moment Brother Kevin Arcola trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior, his sin debt in heaven was cared for, past, present, and future. And believe me, it's in debt. Heavily. It was covered, paid in full by the blood of Jesus Christ. But guess what? He's still suffering the consequences of being a sinner. He's got Paul. Now, wait a second. Just because his account is settled doesn't mean there's not consequences for the sin. But he's never going to die and go to hell. He's just as saved as Jesus Christ is. He's a joint heir with Jesus, as we've said in Wednesday nights and on and on. All of that being said, the moment he got saved as a teenage boy, his sin account was reconciled in heaven, paid in full. But not only that, the moment you trusted Christ, God took Jesus' righteousness and added it to your account. Not only is his sin debt paid in full, but his righteousness is as full as Jesus is himself. Because he imputed the righteousness of Jesus to your account.
Yes, sir.
That took Brother Kevin to another level in heaven. Not only was there no spot, there's no debt, but there's all deposits.
Amen.
There's no withdrawal. So his account was reconciled. Jesus came to get God and man back together. And he did this through the virgin birth, the righteous life, the death, the burial, the resurrection. He cared for all of that in one shot. And that allows God and man to go back together. By the way, that's why at Calvary, the very last event of Calvary was the veil in the temple being torn in half from top to bottom. God said there's no need for a priest. There's no need for the Holy of Holies. And you don't need a priest anymore. God tore that veil and we have direct access to God, for we are priests of our own. I love the story of old Uncle Bud Robinson. He was on his deathbed. And Uncle Bud talked like this when he was a preacher. And he talked with a lisp. And they asked him, they said, Mr. Robinson, you're about to go to heaven. You're about to die. Do you want to talk to the Holy Father? He said, yes, I want to talk to the Holy Father. The Holy Father come down and he said some things. And he said, would you like to say anything? He said, yes, sir. He said, I'm saved, I'm sanctified, and I'm on my way to heaven. And he said, well, how do you know that? He said, because the church of Jesus is my Savior. And if you don't, you're going to die and go to hell. I like old Uncle Bud Robinson. Amen. He said, well, how can you know that? He said, because the Bible tells me. He said, well, how do you know the Bible tells you? Because I read it. And he said, well, you're supposed to take what I take from the Bible and give to you. He said, I'm like the milkman, and you get what milk I give you. He said, I got my own cow. I love it. I love it. I love it. Say, preacher, that's simple. Yeah, but it sure does explain it pretty well. And when you got saved, not only were the sins wiped away, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ was added. And man and God now have access to talk to one another. It's called being reconciled. I want to show you a wonderful truth. We deserve hell as much as the devil. But Jesus wanted God to have what God wanted. So he made reconciliation available. Let me give you three or four thoughts tonight. Number one, to reconcile means to make one's account consistent with another. I know we live in a different world of bookkeeping. I still believe in a checkbook. I still believe in keeping a checkbook register. They're harder and harder to get, but I still believe in doing it. I think every young person ought to be given a checkbook register and taught how to keep their finances. They don't need to learn a spreadsheet. They don't need to learn a business program. They need to learn how to do it by paper and pencil. They need to learn the pain that it goes through to balance a checkbook and chase 3 cents down somewhere. Every month you get your statement and you're to reconcile your books, your account with the bank to make sure they're in balance with one another. Every month my wife gets that thing and she goes through the checkbook, and if she's a penny off, she is frustrated till she finds it. I mean frustrated. Say why? Because she wants to make sure the books are exact. She wants to make sure everything's reconciled. What's reconciling? Making sure what we have in our account and in our record keeping matches that which the bank has. So that both accounts match. That's exactly what it's called. It's called reconciling the books. We read in 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. God imputes his righteousness at salvation so that we can get him. But I want you to notice something. He does not impute trespasses. God only pays that which is insufficient funds. Everybody doing okay? He doesn't go back and pay everything. He only pays that which is lacking. He pays that which brings us back to zero. God didn't, I don't mean this the wrong way, he didn't take his sin away, he just covered the balance. He washed it later. He forgave it, but there's still consequences for it. He didn't impute the righteousness to get rid of the trespasses. But he covered everything that was insufficient. That's reconciliation. Well, God forgave me. Yes, he forgave you, but that didn't have anything to do with anything else. That was just so he wouldn't get bitter with you. Forgiveness isn't for you, it's for him. Forgiveness is not for the one that did wrong. Forgiveness is for the one who was wronged. Is that not true? God does not want us to be like the world to reach the world. God wants us to be like him to reach the world. I hate modern religion. I hate this casual Christianity. Can I remind you, the root word of casual is casualty. Well, let's just go to church on our PJs and we'll have breakfast and brunch and we'll do whatever, and then we'll go back home and watch sports and we'll have Super Bowl Sunday. Instead of preaching, we'll see the Super Bowl. God help us. I'm probably going to get internet news and I don't give a flip. I get sick and tired of these churches. Well, if we dress up like we do at church, then they'll think we're the Mormons. So we better just go casual so that they don't think we're somebody else. Well, bless God, I've only been asked that a few times, and all the times I've been out soul winning, I said, no, I'm a Baptist. Oh, come on up. And in this area, the Mormons don't last very long. We had folks out yesterday by the dozens, passing out tracts. I can't tell you how many people told me they couldn't believe how many times people thanked them for giving them a gospel tract and talking about church. Can't tell you why people dressed right and acted right and were talking about church. And nobody said, are you a Mormon? Not one. We don't want to be like, if we're more like the world, maybe they'll accept us. They're tired of what the world has to offer. Why do we want to bring God down to the world standard? Or as Brother Roloff has said, we've tried to humanize Christianity rather than Christianize humanity. We have tried to humanize Christianity to the point where Jesus is just the man upstairs. No, we're to be more Christ-like and Christianize humanity. Let's bring them up. Let's pull them up. Let's not go down to where they are. Let's bring them up to where God brought us. So, when we get saved, God settles those books. He reconciles the books. We'll sing a song every once in a while around here. The old account was settled long ago. What's that song about? Reconciling the books. Getting our books settled. By the way, when we get saved, we reconcile the books. But according to 2 Corinthians 5:20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Once we get saved and he settles the books and he pays our account off, guess what? We represent him. We're now indebted to him. We're indebted to do it His way. If we have an ambassador that's doing things contrary to the way the President of the United States wants, he ought to fire him. Amen. Get him out of there. Hello?
Yes, sir.
Say, why? Because they're not a good representation of our country. I believe they ought to be checked out. I believe they ought to be found out whether they're doing their job or not.
Amen.
But I must go on, number two. God tells us that He gives us a ministry of reconciliation. Look at verse 18 again, 2 Corinthians 5. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. I'm probably going to get in trouble again, but who cares? We live in this California-style Christianity that irks the ever-living mucus out of my nose. For us rednecks, that means snot. But we have to have a music ministry. We've got to have our radio ministry. We've got to have our PA ministry. We've got to have our bathroom ministry. We've got to have this. Everything is a ministry. Mm-hmm. Folks, cleaning the toilet's not a ministry.
Amen.
But it is serving God.
Amen.
Good night. Now you got to, if somebody's going to do something, you got to have a new ministry. In the old days, they would have called it a committee. God said, once we have been reconciled, watch this, He gives us the ministry of reconciliation.
Right.
See, what's that about, preacher? That means this. Once our account is settled, I'm about to shout. Once my account's been settled, my new ministry is to help him get his account settled.
Amen.
And then after he gets saved, go get another one. Boy, that one's going to take a while. But get his account settled. And then go get another and another and another and another. And we're supposed to begin reconciling others with God. It's called soul winning.
Yes,
it's called getting the gospel to people. That's what, by the way, that has been commanded to every Christian.
Right.
God has already done everything necessary for salvation. Don't blame Him if somebody doesn't get saved.
Amen.
I think there's going to be a lot of Christians in heaven disappointed when they get there and God says, your loved one would have got saved if you'd gone out and talked to him instead of sitting there asking me to do it. I already did everything I could do. It's your turn to tell them. I'm not saying it's wrong to pray for somebody to get saved. But you're kind of wasting your breath because God already did everything necessary for him to get saved. The only thing you can do is keep telling them. Or beg God to send somebody that they might listen to. But it's not God's fault if they don't get saved. God already did everything necessary. Everybody doing okay? Don't get mad at me. I know people have prayed 30 and 40 years for somebody to get saved, but they never wouldn't tell anybody else about how to get saved. I know folks that one spouse got saved, the other started soul winning, and eventually won their other spouse to the Lord, where they got saved. You say, why? Because they were busy in the ministry of reconciliation, and that in process got their spouse saved. Soul winning is for all Christians because getting people saved is the best way and the only way for man to get reconciled with God. So I believe we ought to tell others about Christ. That's the ministry of reconciliation. You don't have to come at Saturday 10 o'clock to go soul winning, to go soul winning. We make a time available to where if you don't have another time to go, you can go. But I believe you can go soul winning anytime, anywhere. Did you know people can get the gospel 365 days a year, 24 hours a day? I was reading a book the other day about J. Frank Norris. J. Frank Norris is a crazy man. The more I read on him, I can't wait to get to heaven and meet him. That man would go soul winning 11 o'clock at night. But you got to remember, this is back in the 19-teens and 1920s in shift work. He'd wait till the steel mills and all the companies shifted shift work, and he'd go down neighborhoods, and if there's light on, he'd go knock on door. Man, you talk about some of the stories he tells, dragging people out of the house at 11, 12 o'clock at night. It cracks me up. You do that today, you get shot. I understand some things have changed, but listen to this very carefully. He built the two largest churches in America, one in Dallas, Texas, and one in Detroit, Michigan, at the same time he pastored them. In a time where there was no airplanes, he'd be 2 weeks in one, take the train and go to Detroit, go to the other one, spend 2 weeks there, come back and pastor. And he did that for years. One church was running over 10,000, the other was running over 5,000. Guy was brilliant. Plus he traveled and preached. I don't know how he did it all. But may I say something? The words, is all we got to do is get the word out. Take gospel tracts with you. Everywhere you go, good night. Can't go to the gas pump without finding my picture there. By the way, reconciliation is the only ministry God gave to every Christian. Look in the Bible. Show me I'm wrong. It is the only ministry God gave to every saved person. I'm going to read what I wrote in my outline here. Are you doing anything to reconcile anyone? Oh, we have people that want to judge others or inspect others or test their sincerity. We want to disciple them. No, you don't need to disciple them. Get them in Sunday school. That's what discipleship is. Discipleship actually is Bible college. The disciples were full-time servants. God never commanded every Christian to be a full-time servant. But he did command everybody, forsake not the assembly of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Everybody doing okay? Pass out tracts. Invite people to church. Come, go soul winning. Learn how to go soul winning. Tell others about Jesus. God gives us that ministry. God did everything necessary. Watch this. And he put the responsibility of getting the gospel out on everybody who is saved. Yes, don't blame God for somebody not going out. You go out. Number three. This is where I wanted to focus tonight. We're to reconcile saved people who have fallen. We're to reconcile saved people who have fallen away. Galatians chapter 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then there shall be have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. That means this: when some Christian falls or backslides, we're to have a ministry to get them reconciled to God. As your pastor, let me warn you. There's a parable in the Bible called the lost sheep. It's an interesting passage. You have parable of the lost sheep, parable of the lost coin, and the prodigal son. All in the same chapter. When God says somebody gets saved, what kind of animal are we referred to as? Huh. Most of my life I've heard that preached as a soul winning message, and it's not about soul winning. It's about finding people who are already saved and bringing them back into the fold. Right. Lady lost had 10 coins and she lost one. See, she searched till she found it. Did she find somebody else's coin? No, she found her own coin. It's not about soul winning. It's about reclaiming, reconciling something that was to balance the book. Then you have the story of the prodigal son. Did you ever notice Dad didn't leave home going looking for a son? Number one, he was an adult. He was grown. But like the shepherd, he made a place available for him to come back to.
Yes, sir.
Let me say this. It's not the sheep's job to go chasing stray sheep.
Amen.
Listen to me very carefully. I have a whole sermon on this. I may preach it one of these days again. It's been a long time. Here, get up and we'll start wandering around. You got a lost sheep, then you got an old goat. I mean, another old sheep. Wait a second. That's somebody close to him. That's a friend. Natural reaction is he wants to go find that lost sheep. But what happens? Watch this. Go ahead and go down the steps, just a couple steps there. Yeah, you better go down one more. You're going to fall down. Now watch this. For him to go after a lost sheep, he has to leave the fold and becomes lost himself. It's not your job to go after that sheep. It's the shepherd's job.
Good.
It's my job to go after him and say, come on back. I won't do it, but the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That means he'll break his leg and set the bone and say, now you can't wander away. Don't chase stray sheep. But if you know one that's stray, let the preacher know and I'll go after him so that I don't let you become stray.
Amen. Amen.
There's more truth in that than you know.
Yes, that's right.
But it doesn't mean we don't care about him. He's going to come back dirty. Going to come back a mess. Might be even bloodied up a little bit. Might be hobbling. Might be sick. Guess what? That's our job to heal them back up and get them productive in the fold again.
Amen.
Not to bring them back and say, you stupid sheep, don't you ever come back here. You knew better than that. Oh no, that's acting like a bunch of billy goats. No, we're to bring them back into the fold and restore them. Grace Baptist Church ought to be a place where people can come back easily.
Amen.
Not, well, brother, you've been gone for a long time. Where have you been? Do me a favor. Shut up.
Amen.
Why is it we get excited about a lost person getting saved? Let some prostitute walk in here, get saved, and God change her life. Let some fella who's lived a life of a whoremonger for years get saved and God change his life. We'll say, man, look what God's doing. But let one of our young people make a mistake and we want to crucify him. That's wicked as hell. That young person hasn't done one hundredth of what somebody else has done, and yet you're ready to string them up. No, we're going to bring them back in the fold and reconcile them. I spend my life doing that.
Sure.
You'll never know the toil that goes into it. Mm-hmm. Looks easy going out after a lost sheep, but it's not.
Right.
Most of the time I don't find them alive.
Right.
Most of the time they're beaten and bloodied beyond recognition. When the devil's eating them up and used them up, he just leaves them there to rot. I don't know about you, I get tired. Not tired of what they're doing, I just get tired doing it. I don't know why God's done it. But for some reason, preachers reach out to me often. I've been in it a long time. I've got a friend. Been preaching over 40 years. And he's destroying his life. He's resigned his church. He's left his wife. And barring a miracle, in the next 6-8 weeks, he'll be divorced. Plans to marry some woman who's already destroyed 2 other pastors and been with 3 other husbands. And then he's going to become an evangelist, he thinks. I drove many hundreds of miles on my own dollar. Knocked on his door at 6 o'clock in the morning, before 6 o'clock. Didn't tell him I was coming. Say why? Because he'd put me off. He opened the door and called my name. I opened up the door and I walked in. I sat on his couch. The disheveled mess he was. Begging him. Please don't do it. Barring a miracle, it didn't do any good. But it wasn't going down without a fight. By the way, I've done it with people in this room, and your family members and others. I'm not giving up on him. But I spend my life trying to reconcile people. Say why? Because the day may come when you need help and you're going to need somebody to pull you up. The day may come where the attack comes your way. And you may need somebody to pull you up. I took 2 days of my life on that trip to try to help. Honestly, he's running from God faster than anybody I've ever seen. I worry. I've prayed with him throughout the last 4 decades. I've heard him pray, God, if I can't be useful in the ministry, just take me home. Yes. I've heard it over and over. I don't want that. I don't want to go be a part of his funeral. I want him to get right with God. Reconciling, number 4. Reconciling others brings joy. My life's verse is Galatians 6:2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Romans chapter 5, verse number 10. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. I look across this room and I know the stories. I do. There's a couple sitting in this room right now. About 10 years ago, We're about as close to separating and divorcing as a couple could be. But it came and knocked on your door and said, let me try to help. You'd never know who it was. Don't want you to know. But God reconciled you. There's people in here, you were lost and knocked on your door and you got saved and you got reconciled with God. And look how God is changing your family. I don't know about you, but I'm having so much fun. I wouldn't trade it for nothing. Hearing people talk about yesterday and passing out tracts and getting word out about the church and the gospel and different things. There's three ladies that came and sat right down here today. Came. I'm going to spoil somebody's blessing here, but can I tell you why? Because a little white-haired lady, Mrs. Myers, went to Walmart passing out tracts yesterday on her own. They said, well, we've been just talking today about needing to get back in church. She said, well, then that's why God sent me to you. Amen. And they sat right there this morning. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know about you, but if that don't light your fire, your wood's wet. That's just the first of many stories. We have no idea what God's going to do with what we did yesterday. Can I tell you something? We can do it all the time. We don't have to organize a day to do it. We can just do it everywhere we go, a little at a time. But I want you to notice, God says old things are passed away. You know what we call it when somebody dies? They pass away. Our old life is to die. It's to pass away. Let the past die. Let the hurt and the bitterness of the past die. You can go down to the graveyard down here. Miss Loretta, you can go down there and fuss and feud with Jimbo all you want. And ain't going to change nothing. Because he did. She fussed with him enough before he died. She didn't want to go down there and fuss with him again. Wait a second. Going down there screaming and hollering at people in the grave isn't going to do anything. Right. Say why? They're passed away. Why do you want to keep bringing your past up? Amen. Why do you keep on going back to it? Why don't you forget about it? Let it die, bury it, and move forward. It's called being reconciled. We need to let people be dead to the past. Whether it was yesterday or 30 years ago. Doesn't matter when. Let people's past die. Quit throwing it in their face. By the way, God gives joy in seeing people getting their account settled. There's nothing more exciting to me than seeing somebody get saved. That just, it's like a new birth for somebody else. None come into my house, amen? I'll tell you something, when you start seeing that, the ministry of reconciliation becomes exciting. Amen. There's no joy in gossip. Amen. There's no joy in spreading negative. There's no joy in being a grumpy old grouch, growling at everybody and everything because it's not your way. Do us a favor. Go hold your breath for about 20 minutes. Why don't you get, instead of being such a grouch, go find somebody and teach them how to get reconciled with God. Maybe it'll take care of your attitude. Matter of fact, God says there's more joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Huh. God tells us that every saved person has the ministry of reconciliation. Getting the gospel out to see people get saved? Yes. Helping the lost ones helping the fallen when they've fallen to get back? Yes. But don't chase stray sheep. Don't do it. Let the preacher help you. Let me ask you a question. Will you enter the ministry God has for you? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. Look, I've lived much of my life understanding this ministry of reconciliation. There's no greater joy. But it also has a lot of grief and heartache that goes with it. But it sure is sweet when you get victory.